Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is Monday, the 7th of November, better known as the eve of the election. Do you have any scary music left over from a week ago? Just out of curiosity. So we've come this far, ladies and gentlemen. After a year and a half of constant chatter about this election, we have come to this point. And, of course, we still have a ways to go. We still have to get through tomorrow with the actual voting, and then we'll do the recap on Wednesday. And then, I don't know, wouldn't it be nice, like, on Thursday if we could just talk about Mosul, climate change, what else?
Yeah, well, that's not very likely.
Population.
All of this stuff that we've pretty much forgotten over the last year and a half. So
on Wednesday?
Thursday.
Thursday. Right.
Wednesday's the recap.
Right.
All right. Let me introduce the panel to you, and we'll get going here. There's a lot to talk about. We didn't have a Friday surprise this weekend, but we did get quite a Sunday surprise, so we'll talk about that. WAMC's Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Can you hear the tremolo, the tremor in my voice? I am really, really scared, as are many of the people who've been texting
me. The lockbox is full. Don't worry.
Actually, the lockbox is getting full.
So what are you scared about?
I'm scared about.
I know you are.
Yeah. I think this is beyond anything I've ever seen in my life. I have never seen as blatant a difference between these two people as there are now.
Yeah.
So, what can I tell you? Yeah.
Rosemary Armeo is here. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. It's always a pleasure to have her with us, and today is no exception. Good morning.
Thank you.
How are you? Nice to have you. And Libby Post joins us, as she does. And you're both going to be with us on Wednesday, right?
Yes.
You're going to be part of the big panel over at
the
Linda. And so that'll be fun. How's everything in Libby world? Good?
Oh, everything in the Libby world is all right. Copacetic.
Political consultant to the stars, Libby Post, mm-hmm. Joining us. All right. So remember a couple weeks ago when James Comey, the director of the FBI, came out and said,
"For the moment,
it seems to me that we found a new batch of emails. We must look at these. They are relevant to the investigation of Mrs. Clinton. Even though I said that there would be no charges in July, I believe that I, in good conscience, must look at these emails. And it's gonna take months, but we have to do it. All right." So that was the bomb that was dropped 2 weeks ago. Sunday, apparently, after 24/7, is what they've said, of going through the emails, which only a fraction of them actually had to do with Donald Trump was using a number of 660,000 emails.
Ridiculous.
Which was the total number of Anthony Weiner emails, but not, obviously, the ones that were also of interest to the FBI in this investigation. Through software, they were able to, in a matter of days, determined that these emails had nothing to do with that investigation. They were, in most cases, repeats, and in most cases, personal emails about
exempted email that did not have to be disclosed.
That have nothing to do. So we get the letter on a Sunday, 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Last time was 11 days before the election. Now it's 2 days before the election, and we get the letter and saying, psych, all good.
Psych.
Never mind.
All right.
Well, first of all, I hope it wasn't my column, which has been reproduced in a lot of places, about how ashamed he should be of what he did. And the
probably is.
And the, yeah, right.
You should never underestimate your power.
Yes, I agree with
and
you.
And Alan really was the only person saying that.
Yeah, sure. Nobody else said it. Now, the thing here is that the damage was done.
Yep.
We saw this massive movement, a stop basically to the Clinton movement upward, and boom, it came down. Even in New York State, the poll numbers have decreased substantially. So this guy did his damage. What I like to do is to put myself into their place. What I come up with is I see a fairly weak man. Having obviously fallen into that terrible trap of trying to please. I used to have a dean like this at New Paltz. used to call him the last one in the office.
Oh, Alan, watch your.
Okay, sorry.
There you go.
Dean at New Paltz. We used to call him the last one in the room, Dean, meaning he would side with whoever came in the latest. So this guy has become a ping pong ball, but the damage that he has done is substantial.
The damage to Hillary, the damage to the FBI, the damage to faith in the electoral system. It's an onerous thing he has done.
So now you have Donald Trump, who last week was very much for him. He's a man of great integrity.
Right. Now the FBI is rigged.
Now he's a bad man. Yeah. And of course, you know, it's utterly predictable. Rosemary?
All of what Alan says is true. I think Comey's future, as well as Hillary Clinton's, is now a little bit less clear than it was. He, of course, has 7 years to go, but I faith is lost in him. I mean, if I were the boss and it was Hillary in there, I mean, of course, Trump will love him. Maybe not. Maybe he would feel the same way. Call him and say, I just don't trust you. I have a lack of confidence. You want to continue? I sure would not trust him with anything. I long for the days when investigators investigated, and that's all they did. They didn't make comment. They didn't confirm or deny if an investigation was going on. And if the charges were dropped, they just didn't talk about it. He's violated so many of those traditions. And for what end? What has he accomplished for his side, really? What did it do for anybody? It didn't help Trump any.
It did help Trump.
Well, you're right, because the polls have so tightened, and for no reason, there's no way she can get that back. It's just hideous, really.
She sure can't get all of it back.
I think she'll get some of it back.
She may get a little back, but I don't know. You know, I'm looking at these polls today, and I read them three times a night at the New York Times. Somehow they don't change. But
that's why you have to change the site then, and then you get different numbers, and then you can obsess over why they're all different.
Right. I mean, there was a thing on Facebook about stop refreshing 538. Every 5 minutes, it's bad for your health.
However, if you take a look at Florida this morning in these polls, it's dead even. It's dead even.
But it was for him. That's the thing. It was for him. Now it's dead even. The same thing in Ohio. Yeah. It's dead even.
Well, the New York Times, of course, is doing its work. You can argue with me, and Rex argues with me, and Rosemary argues with me a lot about this. But I think the Times has decided to commit to not letting Trump become the president.
And so the press had that power, Alan.
No, they have a lot of power. Okay. And then this business of... Because they are what we call in political science, that's not journalism, political science, opinion leaders. They are opinion leaders. So it may not be that the people who read the Times are going to be the ones who get changed. It is that newspaper editors all over the country are going to be reading the Times. And they're going to say, when the Times runs, Latino surge... is good for Hillary, and really a very positive article about how she may well win because of the Latino surge, because of the Hispanic surge. That means a great deal because we know that Americans love to be on the winning side, the bandwagon.
There just aren't enough Latinos, unfortunately. I would like to say that would help. It actually turns off a whole lot of a different kind of voters who exist in greater numbers. The press does not have the power to move this.
I disagree with you. I think that the Latino vote is key in a number of very important states, like Florida, like Nevada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the numbers in Nevada, I mean, I think looking at that, at the story that the Times ran yesterday, the numbers are staggering enough to want to report on that because I think it's an interesting bellwether, isn't it?
Yes, I do.
It is. We don't exactly know what it means. It does look good for Hillary, but then there's Michigan and Wisconsin, and states that were New Hampshire. There's not a Latino vote in New Hampshire, so the damage done does not seem to be offset by Latinos rightfully voting against Trump.
Well, that's why you send Bernie Sanders to
New Hampshire, right?
And that's
why the president to Michigan,
and right. That's why you do that.
It's trade. He is in the wake of all of this controversy. His views on trade and jobs have come back into the fore, and that scares me because that is what elections are won on in the Midwest and in the Rust Belt. Those votes are against Hillary Clinton.
Well, the LA Times says she's going to get 352 electoral votes.
Oh, I hope so.
From the LA Times editorial board to God's mouth.
Right. No kidding. And I'm a little more optimistic than the both of you. I think I have been throughout this entire...
No, I call you and say, reassure me.
Yes, I have been through this entire process. I think she's going to win. I think she's going to win with enough of a electoral college margin to make it, to silence some of the others. I think that Trump will Trump will not go away, but there will not be the impetus to have to pay attention to him anymore.
Right.
Malcolm Gladwell wrote that he's going to be in jail within a year.
By the way, could be.
Yeah, absolutely could be. I mean, there's the child rape case. There's the university.
No, that's been
Trump
dropped.
That's been dropped.
That's so funny.
The Trump University case. I mean, there's all these things.
That's a civil case. You find a lot of money, you don't go to jail for that.
Buildings just filed for bankruptcy again. I mean, it's
jailable offenses. However, when you start looking and you start looking real hard, may come up with something.
The brand certainly has been hurt.
The IRS ought to be put on alert that maybe they better be checking a little more deeply. If they're not auditing, maybe they ought to be.
All right, I want to take a quick break because I want to do a little microphone adjustment here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back. Everyone sounds better. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Just a little adjustment.
Get a microphone
adjustment. Just wanted to have you all fitting for the prom. We have some letters before we'll take a news break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll come back. We have a lot more to discuss, but we have a couple of letters. Mm-hmm. By the way, a reminder, we have a new email address. It's no longer what it was. It's
round
now
table.
I don't want to even say it.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're the brander. You're the marketer, for God's sake.
Nobody told me about
this. Okay, it's
all
panel.
I know is I'm getting these
panels.
Emails.
Panel at WAMC.org.
And now, panel is spelled
PANEL.
Right.
Panel
words in the
at
world.
WAMC.org, and we will we'll get your letters there. And so if you want to write to us and to have a shot in getting your letter read on the air, then please write them to panel at WAMC.org. Alan has a stack in front of him now.
I do. Now, a couple of rules. Rule number one, how many characters do we want in a letter, John?
140. Right.
Which is short.
Many people think it's 140 words, by the way, judging by the
I think you're right. It's 140 characters. It's a Twitter rule. The letters are now being curated. If you are, how do you say that? If you're
whatever. Curated, if you went to a private college.
Yeah. That's it.
The letters are being pureed.
Yes. We're curating the letters. And no links. 140 characters,
and
one per customer.
And where are you from? So if you say Proposition 1, I don't know if you're calling from Massachusetts. I don't know if you're calling from, you know, whatever,
Connecticut or
whatever.
No,
so you got to say where you're calling from, you know, or you're writing from.
Okay.
Don't you see?
All right.
Okay. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Interesting that Trump finds Comey courageous when he helps his campaign and corrupt when he doesn't. It never occurred to me that those tabloids at the grocery checkout held the editorial influence that they apparently wield. But then, nominating political hacks to the Supreme Court has long been an American tradition where the independent judiciary has always been suspect. That's from Russ.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kathy says, there needs to be an investigation of Comey, rogue agents, Giuliani, Chaffetz. That's what I'd like to talk about after the election. Well, that's going to be very interesting. Let's say Hillary
gets in.
What should she, her speech that night is, I want to be president of all Americans. I want to bring you all together.
It has to be uniting.
Right.
Yeah. I think it has to
be.
I'm firing James Comey.
No, she has to be as.
No, they'll take their prisoners, but they'll do it silently and deeply.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary, she holds a grudge. You know, all the people who thought Bernie should be her running mate, there's no way that would have worked. She holds a grudge.
No, she's politically astute.
And he will get his, is what I think. But
yes.
It won't be that first night.
No, election night.
Be? That know, takes away from her.
Exactly.
It should be the rain speech that she made about...
That was so good.
Well, you're voting for... And it was off script, which is great for her.
Whenever she goes off script, unlike Trump, she does better. It's really interesting. But when the water's coming down and
she said,
she's
I'm
kind
voting,
of lifting her arms
whether you
up,
vote for me
great.
Or not, I'm going
I'm
to work
be your
for
president.
You. Yes,
yeah.
Regardless.
Greg says, sometimes it seems like the nation's been on a kind of electoral bender for the past 18 months. I just true. Hope we don't wake up on Wednesday with a bad case of the DTs.
All right. Donald we're going to take a break. And yeah, very cute.
Cute.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We have a lot more letters, and we'll get to those in just a moment after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this pre-election day. It's the eve of the election, so we are talking
and
about
things
what's
are getting
going
tense.
On between all of us, or
oh,
just
oh no, particularly between like... Libby and me. Libby just raised a digit.
I think that was because just... you said something mean to me.
That was just
no,
the microphone.
You didn't get it,
right? Yes, it's the microphone that fell over, and he was no fun. He fell right over.
All right, we have letters.
We do.
Okay, we have letters. Okay. Let's go to the letters. And then you'll hand, yes, when you're...
No,
yeah.
See, yeah, I put them okay. over here now. That's the deal.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'll take those.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Alan, be not afraid. The transit strike in Philadelphia just ended. With Hillary's vastly superior ground game, a la Rosemary, who says that a lot, there that almost guarantees Pennsylvania will go Democratic. And without PA, Trump has virtually no path to 270.
For those of you who are interested, there was a 5-year deal that was reached right. for the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transit Association. Yes,
SEPTA. Authority, probably.
Authority, sure. and
so no they, bus strike.
There was
Philly.
A concern that all of those voters would be stranded, although I don't know how many buses they had to take to get to their polling place, but that's a completely
yeah.
different subject.
I thought your real worry was that little kids wouldn't be able to get
yes.
to school.
Also a worry. That. But
that's what they were talking about Friday.
Well, no, yeah. but there was also the poll issue. There was
sure.
the poll
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, I care about the polls. I'm sorry to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some people and, ride to the polls in Cadillacs and
some
go on the bus.
Want Hillary, and the unions want Hillary to be elected president.
Mm-hmm.
And so the union settled the.
Well, and they look the, for the workers.
I said that
they got a strike.
I said that right there. I
did
said,
you really?
Okay,
did
why,
you
why
say
did
that?
The rogue FBI agents not want Hillary to be president? Could someone explain that to me?
They're Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay, you're ready? Here we go. Good morning, panel. Hillary Clinton had movement towards upwards, and Trump was slowly sinking in the polls, prompting most news channels to say no candidate has won an election this far back. FBI Director Comey comes out with his October surprise. Now the polls are closer than ever. It seems to me we already heard this from us this morning. But okay. If Hillary loses this election, she can easily blame Comey. It'll big help. Okay. If she wins, does the panel feel she will fire Comey? No. In retaliation
no,
for
her
loss in momentum and troubles he caused.
She can't fire him. She can just freeze him out.
And then says...
In a year.
And then says, R.I.P. Janet Reno.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We lost Janet Reno, 78 yeah. years old, died of Parkinson's disease, yeah. was the longtime attorney general in the Clinton administration, passed away. So we,
yes.
yeah,
the last attorney general to meet regularly, not only with Congress, but with reporters to answer questions.
Yes.
Transparency. She was immensely popular, in part because of that.
Henry
very
says.
Very strong woman.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I really liked her.
Yeah. Henry says, even if Clinton's poll numbers were to rebound completely from Comey's never mind, millions of votes have been cast in the past 9 days. Alan is correct. Substantial damage has been done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about early voting. And it seemed also, I've heard on a couple comments made yesterday that where early voting ended, what, Saturday? That so you wait that extra, you know what
well,
I mean?
That's like, a
you,
great point.
You wait to Sunday then to even announce that
no,
it's
that's
over
a great point, Joe.
I don't know, so.
Yeah, more conspiracy.
oh, great.
Janice,
that's what we need.
Janice said, well, no, it's a very good point. It's a very good point. You wait till Sunday. Well, I had to wait till Sunday because we weren't done with the review until then. Oh, give me a break. Janice says, did you hear the Marketplace program this morning? The Wall Street expert have decided Hillary is the winner, and they are not even considering a Trump win and what he might do, so they're assuming an HRC win. Let me just say, That's nice of you, Janice, to write us that letter. But I read something over the weekend where they were depressed and they thought Trump was going to win. So who knows what the truth of this is. I'll tell you one thing. If Trump wins, I predict the stock market goes down substantially.
You're prescient. Absolutely prescient.
It will go down, but it won't stay down.
It's an
adjustment. No. It's like Brexit. It'll go down, and then you won't see another effect until 2 years from now, whenever, however long it'll take to actually.
But I think the world markets will tank.
As Danny Kaye would say, however.
The markets are fine.
It's just one of those things we'll put on the list of things to be checked later.
You never eat crow, though. We have to eat crow, but you never do when you're wrong.
Very, very tasty. very tasty, unless you have those feathers. But I'm also going to tell you that if Hillary wins, you're going to see a huge jump in the market. That's
absolutely
my bet. Okay.
Also, will be temporary.
You know, the thing
just
is,
hold on to your stocks. Don't sell them for
a while. The
thing is that it's clear that Wall Street does not like Donald Trump. He is not one of them. And so it's an interesting thing considering
you realize
Mr.
you
Business.
Just are helping him by saying that. He attacks Hillary Clinton for being tight with Wall Street concerns when our whole government is predicated on working with the financial structure.
I understand that. I just think it's interesting that he, as a business person who is supposedly very rich, is not loved by Wall Street. I just think it's very interesting.
Or by other rich people.
Right.
I grew up in a very superstitious household, thanks to my father. And one of
his
things.
Did they throw salt over their shoulders?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah. And the ladders, everything. So one of his big things was, my God, put an umbrella up in the house. Oh, my God. So
don't put up an umbrella.
Don't put up an umbrella. Yeah, but one of his big things was about when you, it just went out of my mind. You never put up a calendar of a month before that month starts.
Oh,
I never heard that one.
That's very reasonable.
So don't put up March. Yeah. So this whole thing about the election, I don't have any faith in anything to say, oh, well, it's done.
Me neither.
Hillary's won. Neither. Trump has lost. Trump has won. Hillary's lost. Well, I can't do any of that. I feel like, A, it's bad, really, really bad luck, and B.
Right.
I couldn't agree
with you more.
We don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. All right. Elias says, the Princeton Consortium has Hillary as a 99% favorite to win with a minimum of 310 votes. They have the best record over the last several years of prognostication. They also give the demo an 80% chance in the Dems. 80% chance in the Senate.
Who the heck are the Princeton Consortium? That would be good to know.
I saw him on the news the other night.
A few years ago, they weren't letting
a consortium
women
is a group. What's
whatever.
Him?
Well,
no,
he's
one
ahead
of their
of
spokespersons, but they're included in all of the New York Times of the.
So why
of
would
the
we
ten?
Pick out this one? Is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
And there's a lady who's never been wrong who does it by how many. In the Hamptons, how many printed cups she gives out. So in other words, she has Hillary cups and she has Trump cups in New York State in the Hamptons. We know where those folks are going. And she's never been wrong. Quote.
Isn't there some alligator who snorts a certain number of times for a Republican? I don't believe in any
of those. There's some grade school that hasn't
you
gotten
don't.
It wrong since 1962.
Yeah,
something.
There's a groundhog that comes up.
Puppy bowl, actually.
When asked for the figures on the last several elections that she proved that she was right about, she says she's never been wrong. She said, those figures are all gone now. So
that's really reliable.
Rosemary's alligator ate them.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Isn't Hispanics and women for Trump the same as chickens endorsing the fox?
Yes, it's a very good letter.
All right.
As Barbara Bush said, women voting for Trump, I cannot fathom it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely right.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm glad you reminded me of that, Rosemary, because I wanted to say something about that. If this was really close, I have a feeling that the Bushites would have to come out even more strongly than they have up until now. The way that we learned.
Do an interview, do an event.
Yeah, well, the way we learned about
Hillary?
for
the Bush is doing an event.
What happened in the past? What happened in the past was that Bush, that old man Bush, was secondhand. We were told was going to vote for Hillary. We couldn't vote for Trump.
Right.
So I think they are not ready to lose all of that credibility yet. Okay, good morning, Roundtable. After Trump was rushed off the stage in Reno, here's what I'm wondering. If he and the Republicans in general are so gung-ho on Second Amendment rights and against any tightening of control of any sort of gun ownership, why do attendees at Trump rallies have to pass through metal detectors before they enter?
Well, I personally think anybody going to any rally should go through a metal detector. I'm happy about that. However,
they have answered that. It's the Secret Service that requires Trump people.
As they should, and for any political event like that, in a large audience. I mean, he's bringing in 25,000 people.
It's like yelling fire in the theater.
Now, that event was interesting because the minute it happened, and it was scary to watch.
They hustled him off the stage.
They hustled him off the stage, and there's, you know, great confusion and so forth. So that while that's happening, Eric Trump tweets out that Hillary had to dodge the rain today. Donald Trump survived an assassination attempt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And Jake Tapper had Kellyanne Conway on this yesterday. They got into a big scuffle about it.
I saw her, and that was something.
She's unbelievable. You know, she really is. My favorite to watch.
Oh, my God. Well, she kept on saying, well, you know, I hope you're just happy that they're all okay. And it's like, yeah, but there was no threat.
And also,
Do you know that they let the guy go and return to the rally? Like, that's how little of a threat he was.
Yeah.
She's like the Stepford Wives of political consultants.
Yeah, she is. She's great to watch.
Do you like her hair?
She had very nice makeup, and her hair was nicely brushed yesterday, which is always the case when she's doing well. It's when they're in bad trouble. You can judge the state of the campaign by her appearance.
Well, she took CNN on yesterday, and she started yelling at them that now are you going to apologize for saying there was no way to 270 for Trump?
Yeah, she's gotten very pointed, but she gets a lot of press when she's like that. And I actually do agree with her on this. I would not want to see a parent of mine up there under those circumstances. I'm glad he's safe. I don't like him at all. I don't want him shot in a public event.
Oh, God, no.
And I think the Secret Service did well, and I think it was crazy to compare, you know, Hillary kind of doing a rain dance to Donald Trump being, you know, doing the responsible thing and getting off the stage if there was a threat.
Crazy is the operative word here.
Well, I think they're two separate things, but it was a son who's watching his father in danger. So okay, I'm giving him a break. There's lots of other reasons.
If there was a son watching his father in danger,
If there was a son in danger.
If there was a son watching his father in danger, the first response is not going on to Twitter. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you tweet, thank God my dad's okay, not Hillary versus my father almost being assassinated.
Yeah,
It was a shot at Hillary. It was too well done.
And I'm sure there are conspiratorialists out there who think the whole thing was a setup.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm giving him a break on that one. As long as he doesn't mention Skittles or any other candy and gets him in trouble, I'm fine with it.
But I agree with you that certainly...
I don't.
Well, I agree.
And I forgot what she said.
Okay.
It's me and Alan against the world.
But it is that sense of, yes, obviously when you see a situation like that and you look at the, and watching that Secret Service in action, man, they're
good. I like
good.
That.
Oh,
I
they're
like
so
that.
Good.
Yes, I thought that was good. They duck his head down and run him off the stage. It was what should have happened.
And last night they played Clint Eastwood in that movie.
Gran Torino?
No, it was executive action. He plays a civil service. Secret Service guy who allowed, I think, Kennedy to be assassinated.
Yeah, I think it was executive action.
No, it wasn't Kennedy.
No, it wasn't.
It was a fictional president.
Yeah. Let's talk about real politics, please.
Oh, okay.
You mean the movies aren't?
Aren't you the condescending one? Okay.
Clint came back to In the Line of Fire.
In the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Thank you very much. Do you think a shorter campaign could help us make us a more civil electorate? How could we force a shorter campaign on advertisers, media, political advisors, etc.? And that's Larry from Albany. My answer, no way. No way, because, and I mean, Roselle said to me the other day, my God, the day after the election, they're going to start again. because it's become a several billion dollar industry. They're not giving that up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of TV and radio, TV stations are kept afloat from electoral politics.
I don't see the advantage of the short election period that, say, Great Britain has. It doesn't seem to me that's better government.
You said at the time that it was nice that they just did it and got it over with and we didn't have to live through the whole thing that we have to live in through now.
Well, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good, never mind.
Because I agreed with you.
I don't know. I don't see the advantage of it. Now look at what's happening with the government.
Though.
It's in crisis. Teresa is in trouble already in Great Britain. May, the head of Great Britain, because of a court ruling.
By the way, I don't think you said it, and to be fair, I don't think you said it about Great Britain. I think you said it as in Canada, where it was very, it's what.
Oh, yeah, well, they got a good prime minister.
Alrighty.
NPR says Jim. NPR says Jim.
And he likes women. 50% of his
NPR
cabinet
NPR says
women.
Jim yesterday that the State Department computer email system was so archaic and inefficient, the worst in the federal government. And so what Hillary did was similar to her predecessors. It should have been a non-issue. Hello,
yep.
All.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about the VP candidates, have we reiterated Pence's long-held views, beliefs? The LGBT community needs to remind us all of his Indiana rulings as we vote
right.
tomorrow. Donna from Schenectady.
That's right.
Well, we've certainly talked about him here, and they have been, I mean, he's been a
we don't like
been a presence.
We don't like them.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll have more topics, more letters. Remember, panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from New York Pain Management, offering pain management for chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting with Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung. Be set free, nypainfree.com. And from Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting two nights of music with Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields 50-song memoir, songs 1 through 26 on November 18th and songs 26 through 50 on November 19th. MassMocha.org. MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry including Showplace wood products, countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. Seymour's Motorized Sports, Route 9, Latham, New York, family-owned since 1950, featuring the Can-Am three-wheeled Spiders and Sea-Doo watercraft, seymoursmotorsports.com. And from Mizzentop Day School, Pauling, a co-ed pre-K through 8th grade independent school with small classes and an emphasis on values, academics, and community. Explore, experience, discover mizzentop.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. We have Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And I'm Joe Donahue. We're all sitting around a table. We're talking about the issues. You can join us. All you have to do is go to panel@wamc.org. I want to make a really quick pitch here that no matter what happens tomorrow, we'll be laughing about it on Friday. There is an event at the Bardavon. With Andy Borowitz, the very funny Andy Borowitz of The New Yorker, who does the Borowitz Report, and at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie, and we have tickets for that event. We went through a lot during the fun drive, but
we have a few
tickets left, and it's $125. It's a pair of tickets, and you can go see Andy Borowitz. Alan will be doing the introduction. I'll be firing softballs to Andy, and then well, 'cause basically
no, you don't have to do much.
Like, basically, I just have to say, so Trump. And then he just goes off for 20 minutes. So that's basically what I get to do.
I have to tell you, though, Joe, one of my favorite tunes that the Satellites for Music Out of This World used to play, my band, Laughing on the Outside, Crying on the Inside.
Yeah.
So when you say, well, no matter who wins, I got to tell you, the nice thing about this event is that we'll all be together.
That's right. It's a WAMC exclusive event. We will all be together, and it'll be a great time for all our Hudson Valley friends.
How do you get those tickets again?
WAMC.org. It's in the drop down menu. Also, you can just call 1-800-323-9262. Go to zero, and we'll take care of you. It's a will call event, so you don't need tickets or anything. You can just come to the door and take care of it there.
I wonder who invented
Assuming you've already put in your pledge. Yes.
I wonder whoever invented that will call thing. It's so interesting, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a very interesting... Where did the expression cold open come from?
Cold
open Saturday Night Live's political satire now comes in the cold open. I've never heard that
We do it even here. It's no music going right in without any of the normal fanfare.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you and I are going to be here tomorrow night
with the
entire WMC.
Tomorrow night with the news team. We'll be on until from 7 until whenever.
Will there
question
be pizza?
Mark. There will be pizza and wings. And I have to say, and I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, but it's just every 2 years when I get to see Alan eat pizza. And
You're telling the truth.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, because he never eats that stuff. And then when he's in here, it's like, oh, wow, look. Alan's eating normal food.
All I know is that I was in the Bagelry in Great Barrington the other day.
I like that.
And they have a terrific pastrami sandwich. So I ordered the pastrami sandwich. I was sitting down at the table with Roselle. And a lady from behind me stands up and yells at the top of her voice, uh-huh, I caught you.
Yeah,
That's pretty funny.
We'll be doing election coverage tomorrow night. Wednesday, of course, we're going to have the live panel. That's sold out, but if you want to get on a waiting list, you can. And then the Friday event is at the Bardamon Theater. The only thing else I wanted to mention about that is all the money goes into the lockbox for next year.
That's right.
So we're starting early, but it's a nice event. It'll be a lot of fun.
I heard today that we're up to $50,000 already.
Yeah.
In the lockbox.
Oh my gosh, that's
crazy.
So,
and that's for February. So there you go. Anyway, if you want to join us, it'll be a lot of fun. Andy Berowitz is a riot. I don't know if you saw the piece on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday, but they had him on there. He was very, very funny. Again, talking about the state of comedy in this race. So we'll be talking about that on Friday as well.
He has no material at all this year. Really, he
had to really reach the last time when he said yeah. His first comment was, the first thing I want to talk to you about is Alan Chartok is not on the air enough.
And then we were off to the races, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, that's our plug for today. Don't worry, I'll be making it for the rest of the week as well. But
okay, more lettuce?
Yes, please.
It appears that Hillary has bottomed out and may pull it out. But the Democrats may have lost the Senate in the last 9 days, or at best end up 50-50 tie, which is not good for Hillary. Well, it's better than the other way around. If it's 50-50, the VP gets the vote, in which case the Democrats organize the Senate. So, don't you see?
Well, all of us here who have been looking at our various maps and playing with those numbers and so forth, it's still, what, 60% chance of winning the Senate for the Democrats?
Oh, I don't know.
And it is very close. It's very, very close. But
I don't know. They're dispatching huge numbers of emissaries, the Democrats, to New Hampshire, for example, which they thought they could take, but now is less
sure. Been close all along, though.
Yeah.
Kelly has made a lot of errors and missteps, and it's still been close all along. It's a Republican state, and it's all done. You have to go vote.
Who's going to win the Senate race there?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And, well, I thought you were talking about.
Well, it's also, you're also right. It's very tight on the presidential side as well.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here you go, Joe.
Thank you.
Robert says, Bob from Oneonta, just wanted to put panel's mind at ease. Vegas is almost never wrong, and the odds at the moment are 300 for Trump plus 200 for Hillary. What does that mean? That's what it says. Look, just make sure.
Your reading is excellent. A plus in reading.
Thank you.
But I don't know that comprehension does not follow.
Mrs. Black would be proud.
Black?
Bleck.
B-L-E-C-H?
Fifth grade teacher who thought I needed some help in reading. Okay, so.
Okay, so that clarified nothing. We have no idea what that means.
So it says, Vegas is never wrong about odds at the moment are 300 Trump plus 200 for Hillary. You mean 200 over Trump? I don't know. You know, the guy to call in on this is Ray Graff.
He's right behind us.
Because nobody.
Yeah, he doesn't know what we're talking about, though.
He's talking.
Because nobody
can
knows.
Can you bring his mic into our conversation?
It sounds like.
Okay, all right. So, Ray,
Trump
odds.
Is a winner, but he's
saying. I think it's minus 300.
Oh, put on your headphones.
Minus 300 for Trump, plus 200 for Hillary.
Okay, so.
Okay, what does it, Ray? Say
exciting
it again.
Exciting radio here.
Okay, it says.
Ray's in your ear. Say it again, Ray.
I think it's minus. It says minus 300 for Trump for.
Oh yeah, it says those minus. Are little minus. You
and
see
then
that
plus 200 for Hillary.
There.
Okay, so that means Hillary's going to win.
I'm
according
not sure.
to the Vegas people.
What'd you say?
I think that would make Trump an underdog, and that's what the money would be on. They're trying to get the money to be on Trump.
I see.
Because Vegas is out to make money. I think that's how it works. I don't bet sports.
Nobody knows more about this than Ray Graff.
No, I don't bet sports.
Nobody. Ray Graff knows his stuff.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break Ray can actually do news. Another one of his specialties, we would note. And we'll be back after this break. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We have a lot going on. And I mean a lot going on. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post making up the group this morning. And we love having you with us. Panel at WAMC.org. We're going to go back to the letters in just a moment because we have more of those. Everybody following the rules and writing in just as they should. It's all very, very nice. I do want to just get to a couple of other things. We did talk about... one other thing I wanted to talk about real quick, and that is one of the articles that I put in, and I'm interested because we have both Libby and Rosemary here, and that is this...
Well, not only is me left.
Well, no, but I... But
we're the ones who get accused of being apologists for Hillary.
You talk all the time.
I took offense of that.
No, don't take offense.
You resemble that remark, do you?
You're not on the show enough. You're not on the air
you'll
enough.
See.
Is that what he said?
Okay. Yes, Joe. What were you trying to say?
I don't usually send opinion pieces. I did this one, which is from Megan Dom from the LA Times, who said it ought to feel like a bigger deal casting a ballot in the first presidential election in American history with a woman at the top of the ticket. Not that it isn't a big deal. It's huge. It's just that even for many of Hillary Clinton's supporters, heading to the polls on Tuesday may feel less like a celebration than a hopeful, if not entirely impassioned, call to duty. History may be made, but it's not the way they dreamed it would be. What do you make of that?
Yeah, she made the comparison, which I've been saying for months, that it feels like Billie Jean King fighting Bobby Riggs. And Billie Jean had to win that. But then when she did, it didn't feel quite right. She was much younger than he was. He was past his prime. She was just coming into it. And he might have just thrown the whole thing because he had a whole lot of debts and had to pay them off. So it felt like beneath her after she had done it. And that's what it feels like with Hillary, who is facing a terrible opponent. I want a woman to win who went up against an equal opponent. Trump is not her equal, and he's a jerk and an overt misogynist. And so her fight against him feels a little artificial, like Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Go ahead.
I think the reason why this has become not so celebratory as one we had hoped is because the amount of misogyny that we've all had to deal with, and to get to the keep saying yes, she is competent. You know, it's like we're having to once again. You know, she's at the top of her game, competing against an incompetent man, and it's not like we can.
And still, it's so close.
And it's just like the amount of misogyny that's been part of this campaign, from James Comey to Donald Trump to every guy who, you know, cheered when Donald Trump said what he said on the bus.
Right.
Right.
You know, has taken away from the celebration of how historic this moment is.
And women
are divided.
Because
she's not being heralded as the woman, the first woman to become a president.
Well, Alan, women, what do you think?
Oh, thank you for calling on me.
Oh,
boy,
we don't care what you think. This is the woman's time here.
No, but I find it is interesting. I think the basic premise that you've articulated here, Joe, is correct. That this was going to be all about the first woman, as much of the last election was about
the first African-American. Right.
It didn't turn out to be that way. But I don't really agree with a lot of the other stuff, which is that, you know, that, for example, Trump, as Rosemary just said, was not a qualified opponent. Boy, is he ever a qualified opponent. He's very close. He may win this election.
No, but not qualified in a sense. I mean, for all of the negatives that he has.
No, but I'm just looking
Libby at Libby said it. He is the worst unqualified male against a supremely competent woman.
Yes.
Why is that equal?
So
that
let's
has
just,
not
no,
to
no,
do
no,
with...
No. So but, let's just play speculative fiction for a moment, which is Hillary Clinton versus John Kasich at this point, a day before the election.
Yeah. You could tell. You can't tell.
Yes, you can. Kasich would be ahead.
I don't know.
We vote for anybody, even a black man. And in this country, we don't like them too much either. Yeah. But we even picked him over a woman.
I don't know.
It's deeply misogynistic.
I don't know. Because...
And this campaign has revealed how deeply, overtly misogynistic we are.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're right. There's no question that it is a misogynistic country. We can prove that a number of different ways. However, I'm looking at the way in which this thing has been played out. The American public, get this ready now, Florida, for example, is the same 50-50 that it was back in the day with, Gore and Bush.
16 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same. It's exactly the same. They'll still be hanging chads or whatever else is going on. What's scary about this election is how many people are saying all that misogynistic message and everything you're talking about is valid and are fighting. So I think this is the fork in the road. If Hillary wins at this stage of the game, then this coalition, and a brilliant article in the Times this morning talking about Bill Clinton's old politics not being adhered to by the Hillary forces because he was Bubba from, you know, from wherever.
She tried it in 2008 and it didn't work.
It didn't work. So
even if she's a one-term president, I want her to win for the same reason so many people wanted the Cubs to win. Break the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And if all that she has gone through, it's going to be easier for the next woman to run.
I'm still going back.
She's a pathfinder.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we walked into where we get our newspaper. I won't say where it is. Yesterday morning. And the woman behind the counter who had said to me the first time I brought up the New York Times, that's a lot of money to pay for a newspaper.
Wow.
It is.
Was going on and on about
$7.50, isn't it?
No, it's $6. Was going on and
depending.
On about...
Depending if you went to a private college.
Yeah, I think it's $7.50 up our way, but okay.
Going on and on about Hillary and all of her lies and blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, stop watching Fox News and looking over there at the National Enquirer for your headlines. You know, educate yourself. But women who don't want to think fall into the same trap.
Libby, my point exactly, which is that half this country is torn down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what scares the hell out of me.
You're absolutely right. And what do we do with these people when she wins and they take up arms, if that's what they're going
to
do?
It all depends on what kind of Hillary.
They are our high school friends. They're our neighbors.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
They are our fellow Americans. And it is a failing of both our politics and our journalism that we did not foresee this coming. And if nothing else, I thank Donald Trump for that. And we better be paying attention.
Yeah, but what do we do if people take up arms? The KKK and the white supremacists were already
pledged.
You send
out the FBI. They're sitting around gossiping in the office.
They've already pledged to go after black people in this country, you know, to kill them. You posted that picture, you know, journalist, rope tree journalist,
some assembly required.
Right.
That was a T-shirt that somebody saw at a rally, at a Trump rally.
Trump rally.
And then you posted that on your show.
What we're dealing with. We're dealing with, you know, the people who are now against the free press. We've got one foot into fascism.
The press is seen as part of the establishment, and the establishment is under fire. And that's the problem, is that we've not impressed people in school and elsewhere with the value of having governance, the value of having constitutional rights like the First Amendment. We have not impressed people with the fact that it looks really bad for you right now, but we can take care of that. And we do it within the system of governance, not outside with some crazy incompetent orange man.
Right.
I just want to read this one line from the editorial. Come January, Clinton may be sworn in as the first female president of the United States. That would be important, historic, even pretty fantastic. But she would also be a president who had the luck, good or bad, depending on your view, of competing in an election that was as much about slaying a dragon as it was about championing a vision for the country or vindicating women's rights. Even if she wins in a landslide, the feeling may be that Clinton has not so much emerged victorious from the battle as survived it.
That's the column that you're, yes, you're reading from. And that is, but you know what? I say, so what? The reason that LBJ got his first full term on his own was because Goldwater scared people so much. And in that first term, what did he accomplish? In that first real term of his own? Civil rights movement. So, okay, Hillary, go.
But it was a different time. I mean, you yourself have assailed Obama for not doing enough,
yes,
while he was in office. But it's a different time. There's a 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
There is,
that's true.
Politics is a totally different animal than it was in 1964.
That's true.
And so we have to adjust for that. You have to adjust your expectations.
Well, I agree with Rosemary, I think. Well, sometimes she confuses me, but I really do think that Hillary has a real, if she wins, and by the way, unlike the rest of you, I'm not so sure she's going to win, but let's assume that she wins here. I think she's going to have that first couple of years before the Republicans
midterms.
Get into the midterms and the rest of it, and she should go for it. She should really go for it.
I agree.
Yep. Yep.
I agree. And
I think George Bush did that. He did not have an exactly clear mandate when he came in. And those first 2 years, he pushed his agenda. He got through everything that he wanted. And that should be a lesson.
Yeah.
If Hillary gets him, but not for Trump. Trump, don't listen.
Did anyone see the and if you all say no, I'll just stop talking, but did anyone see the 60 Minutes piece last night with Frank Luntz?
All
right, moving on. Let's go to letters.
I was asleep.
It was an interesting piece about Frank Luntz, who is a Republican pollster but was working with a group and just talking about that. He's been doing this for decades,
yeah,
and had never put a group of people together where it immediately, you've just lost all civility. And he said, that's going to be what we have to figure out.
But he has helped in that. You know, he has fashioned some of the phrases that the Republicans have used, which are the stepping stones to the lack of civility.
I don't disagree
now
with you, but watch the piece and see what you think, because I think there's still some good stuff to come out of there. Rosemary is pointing to a letter wants to
read. In sports betting, minus indicates the favorite, while plus indicates the underdog. Minus 200 means you need to bet $200 to win $100, where a plus 200 means you win $200 on a $100 bet. I believe that means your previous writer had their symbols mixed up. Last I checked, the Vegas odds were in favor of HRC. Well, that certainly is what our letter writer was saying. No question about it.
That clears up everything, doesn't it?
Okay. It was actually Jack Posobiec who tweeted that Hillary ran away from the rain while Donald stood strong after assassination attempt. Hideous. Don Jr. did tweet something else that was equally untrue.
No,
actually,
he retweeted it. He retweeted it.
So it became news when the son of the candidate was espousing that view.
Yes.
Good. Okay, you guys are good. I have no knowledge of any of this. Jeff from Troy says, are you going to discuss the recent poll reported on your news this morning that Faso has opened up an apparent substantial lead over Teachout?
Six points.
In the 19th district. That's quite right. Yes. So what I want to do is give you these, Joe.
Thank you.
To avoid confusion here.
All right.
People are so good to me.
Why wouldn't we be?
Well, you would.
He's vengeful. We have
just
to
keep
be.
Going.
Dear panel, according to TheGuardian.com, the ruckus at the Trump rally was really attenders beating up on a silent protester holding up an anti-Trump sign, Republicans against Trump. There was nothing even close to an assassination attempt.
As I understand it, the word gun was heard. Well, as soon as they do that, the Secret Service snaps into action.
Apparently, from there are many accounts, but one of the accounts was that somebody said, you know, how do we know this guy doesn't have a gun?
Or he reached into his pocket is another one. But at any rate, as soon as they hear the word, the FBI doesn't sit around and wait.
Good.
Act.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good for them.
Anne says, I, too, am frightened by this recent surge. I think she's agreeing with me. Believing Donald Trump has a credible shot at Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio. What happened to discussions of his fraud, civic freeloading, no taxes, innumerable lies, so much more? So hoping Conway and the Breitbart crew do not prevail. The horror, Anne.
You know, she makes a great, I'm sorry, she makes a great point, though, about because of the Comey letter, because of sort of post-debates, boy, that tax issue went right away.
Taxes and sexual predation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
You know, they both
cleared up, is what he says in his rallies now. That's all been debunked.
Right.
Good morning, panel. I don't like to hear dismissive comments about the Latino vote. It is a key part of votes for Democrats in Arizona, New Mexico, California, Connecticut, Colorado, Nevada, Texas, New York, Florida, Virginia, and Illinois. And that's Denise and Sorgatis. Denise, did you hear me?
I think what she might be referring to is I said, unfortunately, there's not enough.
And yeah, you did.
Well, these, yes.
But you were hardly dismissive
of
the Latino vote.
I wish there were more, and
I'm
thankful for black women who I think have been carrying Hillary since the beginning of this election season. Minorities are going to save us from, I hope, a Trump administration.
My daughter just had her school vote, and Trump got 50%. Hillary, 39%. Actually, 39% is not bad for a small conservative town. But my daughter's begging for us to relocate due to her shock of Trump supporters, Lisa from Montgomery. When I was in the sixth grade, it was Eisenhower versus Stevenson. Mm-hmm. I came home and I said to Mom, Mom, I'm voting for the general of the army who saved the world, Dwight Eisenhower. She said, no, dear. We're Democrats. And that's what we call political sociology. That's when you're told by your mother what you are.
No, dear.
In fourth grade, Mrs. Reed asked us who we were going to vote for, and it was the choice between Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter. And I think four of us in the 20 class said Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Reed said, I hope you don't go to hell.
Oh, was that Catholic school?
No.
Wow.
And my mother went to the principal and said, I want my child in another classroom.
And did that happen?
Yeah, it did.
They moved you?
Wow.
Okay, my mother was a Republican. My father was a Democrat. Mm. And that's how I learned to be a participant in the roundtable panel.
Linda says, the Republican Party has already made it clear they will continue their coup by freezing the function of the legislature. This is treason. What can we do about it? Well, that's why we have elections, if that's what you believe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so Mary in Pittsfield says, do you think Trump will concede? If he does it, what happens? Doesn't matter. The Electoral College will meet.
Yeah, and that's it. It's
elected,
over.
That's over.
Right.
Yeah. Matt Wills says, if anything, this election reveals how much we will miss Obama's grace and intelligence.
That's
Matt
sure.
from Williamstown.
Yes.
Amen
I agree
to
with that.
Lucas says, I'm using the Amit Kumar, Silicon Valley billionaire created at Never Trump app to swap my Electoral College diminished New York State vote for Hillary to a Jill Stein supporter in Florida. Wow. I will vote for Jill Stein and trade a person. Oh, I see. This is like pairing in the United States Congress. You know what I mean?
Yes, you get somebody else to say here. She doesn't need an electoral.
I will vote for Jill Stein and trade a person. The app put me in contact with Florida. Will vote for Hillary. What a system. I love it. That's so cool. And Jim says, I think you have established you are smarter and more vitreous than the millions of people voting for Trump. Can we move on? Yeah. Can we move on?
Yeah. They're going to be insufferable if they win.
After Tuesday, yeah. Please address the report last night about Congress waiting 9 months to approve dollars for research and how they are working on vaccine, but many babies born with microcephaly. They dragged their response, and these families suffered, Trish.
Yep. Over politics.
Mm-hmm. And we probably have time for one letter.
Okay. Hillary will not hold a grudge against Bernie. To the contrary, she will reward him for support during the general. Plus, she wants his support during her presidency. I agree with that.
She didn't make him part of the ticket. She's not. She'll use him, but she's not going to be buds with Bernie.
Well, she should not have made him part of the ticket, and I voted for Bernie. I mean, she needed to win this election. And,
right. Yeah, she wouldn't have. I mean, Bernie was never going to win the presidential race.
Correct. And many of his followers do disagree with.
No, yeah. That's fine. And so it just would have been, she could never have put him, just like she didn't put Elizabeth Warren on the ticket. She needed to be center.
I'm going to pause you there, Libby. We have to stop.
Sorry, babe.
We have to move on.
Just
that's
got
all right.
Shut up, son.
Is that what that is? I
thank
thought it was
you
just your hand.
No, it's the microphone. thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow on Election Day.